Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some great guests lined up for you today. In the first half, we are going to be speaking with Angela Iseldick, and she is the author of How to Glow, Keeping Your Skin Healthy. And then in the second half, we're going to talk to Dr. Bruce Gillis, and he has just found blood tests for fibromyalgia. But just wait, we're going to listen to Alan with the health news.
The rising nighttime temperatures that come with climate change could mean poorer sleep for millions, a new study suggests. Americans reported nights of insufficient sleep more than double as nighttime temperatures rise during summer months, an analysis of federal health data and weather records concludes. And people will have even more trouble getting rest in years to come due to climate change, predicts study lead author Nick Obradovich. He's a postdoctoral fellow with Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. Obradovich said climate change is likely to increase the frequency of unusually warm nighttime temperatures. Obradovich and his colleagues gathered data on American sleep quality from an ongoing survey conducted by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The study was published May 26th in the journal Science Advances. Though mowing lawns has long been a source of income for young people, experts warn that lawnmowers pose a major safety risk to children. We need to remind people that these are dangerous machines and the consequences are devastating, Mariano Garay, a fourth-year medical student at Penn State College of Medicine, said in a school news release. Garay has studied lawnmower injuries in children. About 13,000 children were treated for lawnmower injuries in U.S. emergency departments in 2015, researchers said. And kids aren't the only ones at risk from lawnmowers. More than 68,000 adults ended up in the ER that year because of the machines. A study of nearly 200 patients 18 and younger found that more than half of those admitted to a hospital with injuries from lawnmowers underwent an amputation, usually in the lower extremities. Near-drowning victims are more likely to recover with good brain function if bystanders immediately begin chest compressions rather than wait for emergency personnel to arrive, researchers report. Study leader Dr. Joshua Tobin said what we found is that when bystanders begin CPR before emergency personnel arrive, the person has a higher chance of leaving the hospital and leading a life reasonably close to the one that he had before the drowning. He is an associate professor of clinical anesthesiology at the University of Southern California Keck School of Medicine. Drowning claims about 10 lives a day in the United States, the study authors said in a school news release. The new study included more than 900 cases of people who suffered cardiac arrest after almost drowning. The study is published in the June issue of Resuscitation. Depression appears to raise the risk of falls in elderly people, but the proper dose of psychiatric medication may eliminate that risk, a new study suggests. Many interventions to prevent falls are expensive and time-intensive, said lead researcher Jeffrey Hoffman, but this is a simple and inexpensive matter of encouraging continued use of psychiatric medication while improving monitoring of fall risk and adjusting medication appropriately. Hoffman is a research fellow and an assistant professor of nursing at the University of Michigan's School of Nursing. To examine the link between depression and fall risk, Hoffman's team looked at falls involving more than 7,200 people, 65 and older, who were part of the National Health and Retirement Study between 2006 and 2010. The findings were published recently in the journal Social Science and Medicine.
Angela has been a certified nutritional practitioner for over 15 years. She is author of How to Glow. Angela has been mentoring with Canada's leading women's natural health expert, Lorna Vanderhaeghe, for almost a decade. And Angela's mission is to empower people to live an extraordinary life. Welcome, Angela Iseldick. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Oh, it's good to have you. So we're talking about how to keep our skin healthy, and the buzzword out there right now is collagen. I've heard a lot about it. What is it?
So collagen, you're right, it's very hot right now. I mean, collagen is something that actually, it's a protein that makes up our hair, our skin, our nails, our joints. It's actually the glue that keeps everything together. So when we start seeing a collagen decline, we start to notice things like wrinkles and joint pain and hair loss and, you know, things like that. So collagen is a huge structural component to all of our skin and cartilage.
Does it act differently depending on our age?
You know what? It does. So, I mean, when we're young, you know, our skin cells turn over and we're making an abundance of collagen. So think of a baby, you know, and they're, you know, like their skin is so soft and they continuously turn over skin cells. And as we get a little older, you know, we produce collagen every year, right? But as we get a little bit older into our 20s, we actually start to decrease in our collagen production. So our ability to make collagen decreases, And so therefore, we end up losing about 1% of our collagen every year after the age of 20. So, you know, somebody who's perhaps maybe in menopause or in their 50s, then we start seeing almost 30% loss of collagen. And so this is where we start to really notice more dramatic differences. So, you know, it's important to start to get ahead of it and, you know, to supplement with things or give your body the proper nutrients to make collagen so that you can get ahead of it.
So how can we build collagen? Our bodies are naturally building it themselves?
Yeah, you're right. So basically, there's a few building blocks. I mean, protein is one of them, amino acids is one of them, and so is orthosilicic acid. Orthosilicic acid is actually an ingredient that your body uses to make collagen. So that's kind of, you know, there's some special raw materials that your body needs, and that's one of them. And so, for example, if you eat something that contains silica in it, your body actually has to convert that into orthosilicic acid, and that can sometimes be also troublesome. So a lot of times you want to look for things that contain the actual orthosilicic acid in its converted form, and so that's something that people can, you know, look for.
So it's a lot easier for your body to create collagen from this orthosilicic acid than it is if you eat bamboo or silica or the things that are like horsetail, things that are high in silica.
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. It's much more difficult for us to do that conversion. If anyone has any digestive issues like gas, burping, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, you know, a lot of these conversions and that have to do with a really well-working digestive tract and liver and things like this. And it's not that people don't, but there's so many other things going on that the amount that's actually converted into actual collagen is negligible. So it actually doesn't get utilized as well as it maybe could be, especially as you get older. So it's why, you know, maybe supplementing with something like that is a good idea, because then it goes directly to building the collagen that we want.
Is this orthosilicic acid taken from animals, or is it a vegetarian product?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there's so many different types of collagen out there that can be some confusion. But this is actually a building block that is vegetarian. It comes from the earth. And you can get it in the form of a supplement called Collagen Plus, and it contains the orthosilicic acid, which is vegetarian, to use as a building block. But it also contains extra biotin in there, which has been known to also help with that structural component. It's a B vitamin, and it also helps to reduce nail splitting by about 25%. People using this raw material, this supplement Collagen Plus, we start noticing things like our hair buds start to grow. So you go to your hairdresser, and the hairdresser starts to notice that your hair is growing. You start to get your nails start to become more firm and thicker, and they stop splitting. And other things as well, receding gum lines. Receding gum lines is actually a sign of collagen loss and even perhaps bone loss, and it can be one small clue that you may be suffering from bone mineral loss, such as osteopenia. So we actually found that when they use people... when they have these specific studies that show that people that use orthosilicic acid and they are experiencing osteopenia, which is mineral loss, after about a year, they ended up with a 2% increase in bone mineral density, which means that it was helping to build their bone, too. So, you know, like we were talking about externally, you know, your wrinkles and your hair and your nails, you're also going to notice it internally as well for things like your bone and even your joints, too. So, it's a kind of an overall collagen builder. We have over 16 different types of collagen in the body. So really, when you give your body the building block, your body will decide where it will go.
Okay. Is there something else we should be doing to strengthen our bones besides collagen? What are some other things for tendons, for bones, for ligaments?
Really good point. Yeah. So, I mean, besides, you know, avoiding certain factors that leach calcium from the bone, like excess coffee and soda and, you know, high sugar and things like that, we highly recommend people take supplements that contain vitamin D and boron and strontium, and specifically vitamin K. Vitamin K2, MK7 specifically is brilliant for helping to keep that calcium from going into the arteries and keep the calcium in the bone where it should stay.
And how does vitamin K2 work? Can you explain that to us?
Sorry?
Can you explain vitamin K2?
So vitamin K2 is a vitamin, and so there's vitamin K2, MK7 is something that is your body uses to basically redirect it, and it just helps to keep that calcium in the bone and protects it from going into the arteries. So a lot of people will assume that to build bone, you need to take a lot of calcium. And, you know, that's not necessarily a good approach, because oftentimes the calcium doesn't end up in the bone. And it ends up, you know, in the arteries, and that is not good. That's a risk factor. So we actually don't recommend people take calcium supplements in high doses. We recommend more of a multivitamin approach with a mixed type of calcium. But the most important thing is that we actually take the vitamin D, the vitamin K, boron and strontium specifically, the vitamin D, vitamin K mix, to kind of keep that calcium in the bone and prevent it from leaching out. So that's the approach that we take, and there's a lot of studies around that.
Okay. Angela, what do you suggest with the vitamin D as far as dosaging in an adult?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, too. I mean, so basically you want to take, the RDA is about 1,000 IU per day. However, we actually recommend more of an upper limit of 5 to 6,000 IU per day. So you can get it in drops, you can get it in capsules, because, like, literally where we live in this northern hemisphere here, we aren't getting full body exposure to the vitamin D from the sun, for example, especially during the winter months. But there's also other factors as well with the conversion of the vitamin D and making it into the active form as well. So we recommend that higher end of supplementation, and we even have people that will take higher than that. There's just so much studies around it that we recommend a little bit of a higher RDA.
So it's fat soluble, but we know now that there's a large safety range?
Yes. Yeah, it's fat soluble as well, and so yeah, you would want to take it along with it, you know, if you can't get it in an MCT oil or something like that kind of base, then we recommend that you do eat it along with the fat. But typically, the vitamin D that you see will come along with a natural fat as well.
And how would we find this boron and strontium?
So these are other trace minerals that you would get, and you can find that in a supplement called Bone Booster, but it can also be found in other, you know, other foods and that. But it's more, I find the trace minerals, they're harder to come by with when it comes to the soil levels and whatnot. So it really depends on where things are growing and what the soil levels are. You know, they've done soil mineral analysis, and they've found that over the years that the soil levels just do not contain these trace minerals. So you really do need to get them in a supplement form.
Okay. Now, all this research on collagen, is that quite new, or is it is this old information?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, collagen, and again, so we talked about the building block of collagen, but there's a lot of different collagens on the market. I mean, like I was saying, there's over 16 different types of collagen in the body. You know, there's type 1, type 2, type 3, and, you know, type 1 and type 3 are the most abundant collagen found in the body, specifically the skin. And, you know, you can get different sources of collagen as well. So we can get collagen from bovine, from chicken sternum, from pig parts. You can also get it from a marine sourcing as well. And not all collagens are created equal. And there's research on different types of collagen. So when it comes to more of the bovine collagens and that kind of thing, the majority of the research lies around joint health. And when it comes to marine collagen specifically, you want to make sure the marine collagen comes from a wild type of source, because that's just more economically or ecologically sustainable. And also, where it's coming from, is it coming from the skin or the scale? Because there's extraction methods that are involved in extracting this collagen off. So if you're looking at cow hide and the cow skin, the extraction method is very harsh. They have to literally put it into a lime slurry for 3 months and then pulverize it and boil it. And it's much, much more harsh. Whereas when you're looking at marine source and you're looking at marine source skin, it's much less harsh, and it's actually much better. And so we source our collagen from wild marine skin sourcing. And from there, it's hydrolyzed. It's a hydrolyzed collagen and elastin polypeptide format, which this is the best format you can get because it has an affinity for the skin cell. So the differences in between this and, say, a bovine collagen would be that it's the extraction method is less harsh, And the research is specifically on skin. So the fish collagen, the active collagen that we use, is contains type 1, 3, and 7 collagen. And so this is what's so great for the skin. And then when it comes to the research, they found that for one of the studies, they had people of the age of around 43 to 55. They were using this collagen, 2,000 milligrams a day, for 28 days, and they found a 20% reduction in the depth of their deep wrinkles. So they actually measured the crow's feet and the marionette lines, and they found an amazing improvement of 2%, which is sort of 28% over, 30 days.
Fascinating.
And then after that, it improved even more. So after 84 days, they found a 30% improvement in the depth of their deep wrinkles. And not to mention, we've got skin on the outside of our body, but we also have skin that lines our digestive tract and our vaginal wall as well. So people notice an improvement also in things like vaginal dryness too. So
okay, Angela, I'm going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about all the different supplements to make your skin glow. Okay, be right back.